think in the stomach and the chest and all sort of craziness and that. And the Lord is definitely eased off the pain from here today. Amen. Well, it's gone in Jesus' name. And I can feel some sensation where I've had my half a knee's replacement, and I can feel something happening at the moment. In yes. Amen.
Wow, wow, wow. Isn't God good? Heat's actually a really good thing.
Amen.
It is. Amen. It is. You know, let me give you a tip. Get excited about whatever God does. Even if it's 5%, just start celebrating.
Amen.
Like, don't wait until it's 100% until you start celebrating. A wise man will celebrate, and then what happens is that actually increases, and next minute you see it's 100%.
Amen.
That was a good word. Wow. We're going to do some more worship in a minute. What's the time? Oh, we got 1 hour still. You shouldn't tell me those things. You have full access to God. Who was here last time I spoke? Show of hands. Yeah. I said to you that nothing can stop the hand of God from moving in your life.
Amen.
That still remains.
Amen.
That still remains. Nothing you do can stop the hand of God from moving in your life.
Amen.
You're not powerful enough to do that. Your sin, your issues, they're inferior to his goodness. His goodness can overpower any obstacle.
Amen.
It will over. His goodness is just so furious.
Amen.
His goodness is furious.
Amen.
And his love never fails.
Amen.
You have full access to him.
Yes. Amen.
You've been given an all access badge. You can go into any area. Everything he has is yours. He's put it in your account.
Amen.
And you have a right to access it.
Yes.
As sons and daughters of the kingdom, you have full access to God.
Amen.
Through the wonderful man we call Jesus.
Amen.
God is outrageously in love with us. Outrageously in love with us. So upon that revelation, your natural response is to worship. Your natural response is to worship in freedom, complete freedom. Something happens to people that know that they're loved outrageously by God. Something happens to them. When you realize that God is not angry with you and he loves you so much, all of a sudden, your confidence arises. When you realize that, you go into his presence anytime. It's hard to really enjoy his presence when you still think that he's angry at you. It's really hard, because what happens is that next minute you'll feel, in one breath you'll feel okay, then the next minute, oh, you'll feel down because you think God's angry at you. And then he's pleased with you. Then he's... Come on, guys. Which one is it? He doesn't have mixed emotions. God's not like that. God's not like us. He's actually perfect.
Amen.
He's really, really perfect. He's good at what he does.
Amen.
God is excited about us. How many of you experienced the presence of God today? that some hands didn't go up. I like that because it's good to be honest. You do. He loves you so much. Man. His presence is something, his presence is a gift. His presence is something that we get to enjoy. The presence of God is actually the Holy Spirit himself living inside of you. What happens is that because he lives inside of you, he likes to manifest himself through you and upon you. The Holy Spirit loves to show off, and guess who he does it through? You and me. Worship, as I was saying before, actually, upon that revelation that you're accepted, you're loved, you're accepted just the way you are, you're not trying to get somewhere further to be accepted. Upon that one revelation, what happens is that your natural response is to worship the amazing one. Worship becomes a lot more enjoyable. I can tell you, I can teach you how to experience the presence, but if you don't get that one thing that God loves you so much, what happens is that when you do something wrong or when you go about life, you're going to think that you're not entitled to his presence. Because you're going to think that his presence came because of what you did. But I just want to let you know, that's not true. His presence comes because of his goodness, not yours. Amen. You have full access to him. There's no barrier. The only barrier there is in what you don't know. Is this thing here. The mind. It's lack of revelation. It's just a lack of revelation. That is all it is. You know, it's not all these demons trying to hold you back from God. It's just a switch of mindset. There's a scripture in Hebrews, if I can remember, it's chapter 10, chapter 9. I have to look for it. Let me look for it. Oh, my Bible's in my bag. You guys don't mind if I just talk to you today, right? I don't know if you know this, but I actually really love talking. I love to worship as well, but I love to talk.
Amen. Amen.
Look at this scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, I'm just going to read some of it. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, let me read that again. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have this great priest over the house of God now, oh, okay, let me read this bit. And it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. The scripture goes on, but I just wanted to read that bit. I remember I used to learn in church, you know, when people used to lead worship, you know, they would lead worship and talk at the same time. So a lot of them would be like, you know, we're nearly there. We're nearly there. We're in the outer court, you know, the outer court. We're nearly there. And I always found it kind of weird, but I just agreed with it because, you know, that's what you do, right? Until I read that scripture, I realized that I'm not on the outer court. I actually begin in the most holy place. I'm not working my way into the most holy place. That's where I'm actually seated. That's my position right now. There's no barrier. The only barrier is in what? This. Your mind, what you don't know, lack of revelation. You're not working to get to God. You're not working to get to him. He's already with you. He actually chose you. You didn't work for him. Jesus accomplished that on the cross. He done all the work. And to top it, he actually chose you and gave you such a privilege of experiencing him. I want to let you know that this wasn't available in the Old Testament. Only certain, the Holy Spirit came on certain individuals, but it wasn't available to everyone. You know, we saw the Holy Spirit come on certain individuals, Elijah, Elisha, and everyone celebrates them. But I just want to let you know, the same Holy Spirit that came on them lives in you right now. No difference. No difference. Well, Elijah was, no. According to the New Testament, you're actually greater than all of those prophets. Even Moses. Some of you might be, well, what's this got to do with worship? This has got everything to do with worship, because when you know this stuff, you'll go after him. Yes. Knowing that nothing can hold you back. When you feel that you're powerless, you actually try to hide from God. Let me tell you this. I was speaking to a girl that I know about probably a week ago, and I hadn't seen her in a long time, and I was just like talking to her, asking her questions, and just wanted to know where she's at right now, what church she's at, and she is kind of doing her own thing right now. So I was just encouraging her and just loving her. I wasn't trying to convince her, you know. I tried to do that too many times. It didn't work. And I was just talking to her, and she was saying to me, James, I really need to come back. And I'm like, why? I wanted to ask her why she feels like she needs to come back. And she was like, well, because I don't want to go to hell. I'm like, okay. So I didn't really try to correct her. I'm just like, okay, so you don't want to go to hell. Interesting. And she knows what type of guy I am. I'm all about, you know, the love of God. I do believe in hell, by the way. I'm not saying that. I just don't think that. Anyway. I'll get into that in a minute. So, and then she starts saying to me, she's like, well, I need to feel guilty. Because if I feel guilty, that means I'll come back to God. So she was saying all this stuff. Basically, she wants to feel like she's being punished, so she will come back to God. How many of you know that that's not working for her? She hasn't come back yet. It's not working for her. Actually, what happens is that when you feel guilty, when you feel God is angry at you, it actually draws you away from him. Anger never draws you towards someone. It makes you avoid them. If you know someone's angry at you, you have to be really strong to approach them. And so I had to tell her, I was like, hey, that's not working for you. God is not angry at you. And she was trying to say he was. And I was just like, no, it's not true. No, it's not true. He's not angry at you. Your sin is inferior to his goodness. And after a while, she actually started to believe me. She realized that, oh, you're right. I tried to feel guilty, but it's not working out for me. Guilt, condemnation, all those types of things, it actually draws you away from God, not to him. His love always draws near. His love always draws you near. When you have a revelation of how good God is, your natural response is to draw near. I don't know anyone that got that revelation and said, oh, well, I don't really want God. How could you? When you realize how good God really is, you just want to hang out with him. That's what happens. You just want to hang out with him because he's extremely good. You know, when we say to people, you need to surrender to God is bringing you into a place of surrender. And I totally agree with that. But I realized the other day, I was like, God, what does that mean? Because I know that's another thing that I've said to so many people, and they just got confused. They're like, well, I don't get it. And God showed me. He was like, James, you don't surrender to me so you can live a life of rules and regulations, so you can come and follow a bunch of rules. What happens is that you're putting your heart in the hands of the one who's able to make you amazing. You surrender, you put yourself in his hands because he wants to make you into something more amazing than you already are. Who wouldn't want to do that? If Bill Gates came to most of us now and said, hey, I want to make you rich, you'll listen to everything he says. You put your knowledge aside, if you wanted to be rich, obviously. You put your knowledge aside and you will listen to everything Bill Gates says. You would trust him because you know that he's going to make you more amazing than you previously are. Right? That's the same with God. You don't surrender so you can follow a bunch of rules and regulations. You surrender because you're putting your heart in the hands of the one who's able to make you amazing. The person you want to be, God will make you 10 times better. The person you've wanted to be all your life, guess what? God is going to make you, I said 10 times better. That's under, God will make you a million times better. I'll say 100 times better because you might have faith for that. It's all about the presence. It's all about the presence of God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Wow. How many of you felt his manifest presence before? Yeah. I would say probably everyone in this room has. You just didn't realize it. People are waiting for a big thing to happen. I remember when I first started to speak in tongues, I'd heard all these testimonies I've read in the book of Acts, you know, about how a rushing wind came down and they all started to speak in tongues. I'm telling you, that didn't happen for me, but I got the same thing as them. No different. In fact, when I first started speaking in tongues, I'm like, man, is this even real? I know it's real now, but I'm like, man. I was expecting it to happen in a certain way, and it didn't, but it was exactly the same thing. It just happened differently. Most of us have probably experienced the presence of God, but we didn't realize it was. How many of you, when it comes to worship, I'm talking about worship because that's what we're doing today, you can experience the presence of God in so many ways in your everyday life. Sometimes he just shows up. I was saying this to the worship team. Sometimes I'm just walking on the street and I start to feel his manifest presence. And usually I think, well, maybe I'm meant to do something. But sometimes it's like, nah, just wanted to let you know that I'm still here. Just wanted to make you aware of me. Like, man, I didn't even press in. There's nothing wrong with that, but... As much as you want him, he wants you. How many of you in worship, you begin to hear God a lot clearer? Like things start to come to your mind and you realize that, oh, God. That's his presence. How many of you start to get revelation in scriptures? Like there's a scripture you've been reading all of a sudden. Oh, that's what that scripture means. That's his presence. I've got a friend. Every time she's learned how to recognize the presence of God, and it's different for different people. She says, oh, I feel fire on my hand. I could be talking to her just about normal stuff. She goes, oh, I feel fire on my hand. And we just always laugh about it. But that's how she feels the presence. I don't feel that. Let me tell you what happens to me. When I got the revelation about God's love, I will be on the bus. I will be places. I will just start saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I will close my eyes and start saying, thank you, Jesus. All of a sudden, I will start to feel the warm presence come on my chest. It still happens today, by the way. Anything he starts in your life, he doesn't stop. That one was for free. I will close my eyes. I will start saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, it was genuine. I was really thanking him for all the amazing things that he's done. I start saying, thank you, Jesus. All of a sudden, my belly would start to feel funny. My chest area would start to heat up. Now I start to feel a lot more bold. I wasn't feeling that bold before, but the presence showed up. I start to feel bold. I start remembering things that I forgot. Pay attention. What happens? What happens to you? I pray for people the time, oh, I'd never hear from God. And I'm like, yeah, you probably do. I pray for you, but yeah, you do. Pay attention, like, what happens? Most of us, when we're in worship, we get thoughts that have nothing to do with worship, and we think it's the devil. Sometimes it could be. I don't know. But a lot of times it's not. You get these thoughts in worship, and it's like something completely different to do with worship, and you discount it. But pay attention to it. Maybe keep a notepad by you and just write it down and get back into worship. Because that could actually be God speaking to you. He has permission to show up anytime. He doesn't need permission to show up. It doesn't matter if you're in worship. It doesn't matter if it's an awkward time. He just shows up at times that are not convenient. It's convenient for him. It might not be convenient for you. But what happens is that when you draw your attention to those moments, his voice begins to come clearer in your life. What happens to you in worship? Think about it. What happens to you? What happens to your physical body? Some people worship and they say, wow, I feel much lighter. It's probably God. Some people are like, wow, I just felt electricity. That's his presence. That doesn't happen for me, but if it happens for you, that's his presence. It's not meant to happen like how it happens for me. You're your own individual person. God relates to us in different ways. I want to give you some keys to live in that life of cultivating his presence, cultivating a life of worship. Here's a key. I actually said this to you guys before. Focus on what God is doing, not what is not happening. Focus. I've lived that life. I'm not the best at it. But I've always got thankfulness on my lips. What's God doing? Sometimes I could be in a certain place and I don't know what's going on. I just start to write things down. Any little thing. Lord, I caught the bus early today. Thank you. Lord, thank you for my trainers. Thank you. All of a sudden, you start to cultivate. Everything you have is from him. Lord, thank you that the sun's shining today. Father, thank you for the ground that I'm walking on. Thank you that we have carpet. Thank you that we have chairs to sit on. What happens is that you begin to write these things. Sometimes you have to write it down. It's not, it's, it's, it's not enough just to think it in your head. Sometimes you have to write it down. All of a sudden, his presence starts to show up. When you remember how good God is, it sustains that, like, the, what's the word I'm looking for? It sustains the momentum in your life. God wants to create momentum in your life. But you have to know how to carry it on. One of the ways is always focusing on what God is doing. Always focus on what God is doing. I'm not saying that they're not struggles, but don't let them get the better of you. Always focus on what he's doing. Like, be intentional about it. This is so important. This is so important. This is the key to faith. This, I would say this is one of the main keys to seeing breakthrough on a continual basis. How many of you know that breakthrough wasn't just meant to be 5 years ago, it's meant to be every day? Some people, they got a financial breakthrough 5 years, and I celebrate you, but what about the financial breakthrough recently? What happens is that you keep records of what God is doing and what he's done. All of a sudden, you have faith for the next situation. I also let you know that when I'm talking, I'm actually talking from experience. Nothing that I'm talking about is, all this stuff, I experience it for myself, so I'm able to give it away to you. I don't really talk about stuff that I don't know that well, because then there's not much impartation for you. Keep a record of what God is doing. Here's another one. I'm always around people that say, I want to know how much God loves me. And I'm like, wow, you know, I try to encourage them. But one thing I started to realize is that, man, every person they listen to, they speak about judgment. It's like, it's like me wanting to improve in singing, but I'm going to a piano teacher. I should actually go to a singing teacher. You guys catch that? If you want to know how much God, like whatever subject you want to know more about, feed yourself on things that are actually talking about that. I'm never going to get better in singing if I'm going to a piano teacher that can't sing. I would have to go to a singing teacher, someone that's experienced in that and is able to impart life into me. Amen. I talk to people like this all the time. They're like, yeah, I want to know more about love. I want to know more about the goodness of God. I want to know more about healing, the prophetic. But every person they listen to, they actually don't heal the sick. They don't even talk about the prophetic. And I'm like, well, God can meet me in my room. I'm like, okay, bless you. You know people say that. They're like, well, God can meet me in my room. Why do I have to go up? And I'm like, but you've been praying that for 5 years and it still hasn't happened. Man, I just got some faces there. I'm not concerned. Now, let me take that back. I am concerned about what I carry, but I'm also very concerned about what others carry. It's not about me. You have gifts that I don't have. I need what you have. There are certain things that I'm just not good at. I'm like, man, I need help, and I definitely need help in this area. There's other things that you're not good at, and I can show you. Are you guys still here? Worship. Worship. Let me say this again. His goodness is furious and his love never fails. Amen. His love never fails. Upon that revelation, your natural response is worship. Your natural response is worship. Lord, I want the glory. You've probably experienced it. Remember I said to you, pay attention. Pay attention to what happens to you. Let me tell you this. When the glory of God comes, it always looks like something. Let me explain that. In John chapter 2, John chapter 2, Jesus turned the water into wine. At the end of the chapter, it says his glory was shown. What was the glory? The miracle. It looked like something. It wasn't just this fuzzy thing that is complicated and no one knows anything about. It wasn't just a cloud. It looked like I believe in the glory cloud and all that type of stuff. But it wasn't just the cloud. Something actually happened. The glory looked like something. How do you know when the glory of God is on you? Something happens to you. Say if I'm in the presence and I get transformed, what happened? The glory of God that showed up. What happens if I'm in the presence and I begin to hear his voice and I start to get answers, I start to get wisdom to situations? His glory just showed up. I'm telling you, as I said to you before, I'm here. One of my missions in life is to show you what you already have and what you're already experiencing. This might be some new information to you, but in heaven, this is not new. This is what God planned for you. This is what he's placed inside of you. All I'm doing is taking those things out. It's already in you. It's already in you. You start to hear his voice clearer when you're in his presence, when you're in worship. That means the glory just showed up. Lord, show us your glory, Lord. What happens is that you see someone in the street with crutches, you pray for them, they get healed. What happened? The glory just showed up. Are you guys getting this? His glory looks like something. You're praying for a promotion at work and you get it. You start thanking God, Lord, thank you for favor. What just happened? His glory showed up. You're further than you realize. You're not begging God for anything. He's currently doing it. Even without you knowing. It's up to you if you want to realize it. But what happens when you get to, when you begin to realize it, more starts to happen. It's all about recognizing. It's not about you trying to, none of that stuff. You might have to pursue sometimes, but it's about you recognizing what he's doing. And when you begin to recognize what he's doing, example, let me give you an example. Say if I'm praying for finances and it turns up, I celebrate. What happens is that I've just experienced one of the ways of God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God is making himself known to me in a different way, even if it was just that one time he provided. Let me explain that. God provides for me. He's making known in my life that he wants to be my provider. I've just learned a new character of God. That's what people done in the Old Testament. When they came up with these names about Jehovah Jireh and all that type of stuff, it was because God actually done something and they put something in place to say that this is who God is. Here's the thing about this. I now know him in a new way. So from that day on, he's my provider. Based on that one time I encountered his love through him providing, that's who he is in my life now. I have no reason to think otherwise. If I pray for someone and they get healed, from now on, that's meant to happen. Well, maybe it was just meant to happen once. Nope. Don't think like that. Don't think like that. Well, I experienced favor 5 years ago. I'm like, no. Favor is a lifestyle, not a one-time event. There's seasons of favor and there's... No. There are different seasons according to where you're in, but in terms of his character, there's no seasons for that. He's constant. In your life, there's not seasons of favor and seasons of lack. There's only seasons of favor. Amen. How many of you guys are excited about worship? Yes. Worship just becomes so much more fun when you realize who you're worshiping. It's just so exciting when you know how amazing God really is. When those lies just disappear. It's just so inferior to his truth. God is extremely good. Wow. What's the time? You guys are great. I tell you what. We're going to go into a little bit of worship. We're going to do some spontaneous stuff, but there's a few things that I want you guys to do. Because how many of you know that when you speak, God wants to show up and do what you just said? Right? So now that I've spoken, I believe he wants to show up and show off in you. Remember God said to me, like, James, anytime you speak of my love and my goodness, you give me legal access to show up and do what you just spoke about. So that's what I just do. You know, I'm not really amazing at seeing miracles. I just speak about his goodness and he just shows up and does it. I just partner with him. You know, I'm his son. That's who I am, a son of God. Like, really, I'm his son. And you guys are too. We're orphans no longer. Okay, so we're going to do a few things. We're going to go back into worship. Everyone stand up. Are you guys feeling tired? Good. All right. We're going to do some worship, spontaneous stuff, and whatever God wants to do. What I want you to do is start paying attention. Pay attention to his presence. What happens to you? What happens to you when his presence shows up? Do you start to get visions? Do you start to see pictures? I didn't mention this, but God is really interested in using your imagination. Why? Because he created it. Anything he created, which is everything, he has legal access to it. Your imagination is not a tool for the devil, it's a tool for God. Your imagination does not belong to the devil, it belongs to God. Yep. So, pay attention in worship. Are you getting pictures? Is God speaking to you? Is God telling you how much he loves you? Pay attention to what happened. We're going to go into worship. What I'm going to do, you guys can come out as well. Come out. What I'm going to do is leave this mic here, and whenever you're feeling something, or maybe you are getting pictures or visions, I want you to take the mic and share it with us. Yeah? I'll be playing, but when I see you take the mic, everyone understand that?
Amen.
Yeah, cool. Let's do this. The moment God starts to show up, just begin to share it with us. What happens is that when you give testimony about what God is doing in your life, it raises faith in other people. Yep. The time is gone where messages are preached and there's no demonstration. That time is nearly over. And in my life, it's over. Yeah, so it's right there. Well, yeah. It's nearly there. Wow. Who's experiencing his presence? If you was encountering God, just go up to the mic and just begin to tell us what happened. Don't be shy.
The first one. Basically, I can't think how long. It was a long, long, long time ago. Primary school, sitting in my science class, God decides to show up and he puts one hand on each shoulder. It's kind of hard to show with no one in front of me. So just imagine right hand, right shoulder, left hand, left shoulder. And me sitting down, very small, God, very big, hands on shoulder. And he says, I affirm you, I approve you. And every time I worship, and it's happened several times, and it's just come back, he comes back. And he likes to add to it. He likes to add to this whole image. He comes back. He puts his left hand on my left shoulder. He puts the right hand on his right. He's got two left hands, God. He puts his right hand on the right shoulder. And then he says, and I've given you whitewashed clean clothes. But there's more. And he said, nope. Okay, and I've given you a robe covered in red. Guess what that might be? He says, you know, that's my blood. That's cleansing. He says, and then he puts, here's a finger for your right finger. Here's a crown to go on top of your head. Here's some sandals to prove that you're mine and my son. And then he says, here's a heart that's literally on fire, exploding within you. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, Jonathan, you're now glowing like Moses is glowing. Literally just glowing, whole body emulating as if some kind of, I don't know, just physically glowing like Moses did, but the whole entire body, and it doesn't stop. And then God brings back the same passage, and he says, I can't remember where it is, but he goes, you know, you are my son, whom gives me great pleasure or great joy. Take your pick. They're both amazing. And he's basically saying, I affirm you. And then he says, and just, you know, here's two massive golden wings, one just being twice the length of one of my arms. He says, you are mine. You're called to go to straight heights. You're called to fly. For when you worship, you fly. You fly up to my presence. And not only is God reminding me, but I know, he's saying, it's the same for you. Your visual people, I'm sure you can do it, but picture those things I mentioned. He's saying, what is for me is for you. He's called you to have you all of those things, and I'm sure God's going to keep adding it for me and to you. So that's what's been going on. He's affirming you.
Let's have one more person.
When I was in the presence of the Lord always comes down with a fire. First of all, I get a fire coming from the crown of my head.
Whoa.
And so I see the actual fire, first of all. And then I feel this lovely warmth and embrace. And then he takes me up into the heavens, and I see the door fling open, and his robes and his arms are just coming out. And he's just reaching out. And the words is, come to me, daughter of Zion, come to me. come to me. He said, you're always there with me. I always will love you. No matter whatever has happened, it is well with you. And he says, tell my people that there's everlasting open heavens upon their lives. And he says that it will be well with you, and you will do my work and greater things that you will do. For I have planted everlasting waters within you forever and ever, and that you will flow and flow. You are well rooted and grounded in my heart and in your own hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And the lady in the green, you can...
When I start to worship, it's like everyone else, there's no one else around, it's just me and the Lord, and he's looking at me, and it's just like a real close kind of honing in between me and him. So I'm looking at him and he's looking at me, and there's just such a focus, you know, his focus is here. I know my focus is there, but when I worship him, I know his focus is here, and it's like everything else goes quiet, and there suddenly there comes a peace. And suddenly there just comes a rest, and everything kind of calms down, and all the noise just settles. I love that.
Those are all manifestations of his presence. Let's not look for... Let's not look for the deep things to happen. What I mean by that is that people always expect some spectacular thing to happen, where God is just doing something really simple, but it gives the exact same results. As I gave you the story, when I first spoke in tongues, there wasn't a rush and wind like in Acts, but I got the same thing as them. There's no difference.
Says, I love it when you testify about me. The Lord says, I love it when you testify about me.
Getting ready to go to bed, and I started laughing, and so I picked up bed stuff and was going to lay them out, and I just collapsed. I couldn't go from one room into the next to go to bed because I was just laughing so much, and I, you know, that really heavy, like serious belly ache when you laugh. That's what happened. And so I thought, oh, I'll just stay here for a little while and laugh. So that's what I did. So I stayed where I was and just laughed for a little while. And I thought, yeah, I have to get up, try and get from one room to the next. So I eventually managed to do that and then collapsed again for the next, I don't know, 20 minutes or... I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, just laughing and laughing and laughing. And I was saying I had to put the pillows over my head.
Yes.
Because I was laughing so much. and I didn't want to disturb the neighbours above me, so I just kind of hugged him up for myself, basically. But I laughed a good while, and it was good. It was good to laugh like that.
Come on, it's amazing. You know, because of that, laughing's meant to be your norm now. Because God took you into that experience, He expects it to happen again.